Leviticus 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." I want to say good day to you, and this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located just a few miles outside of the Boone city limits on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile on Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we count it a privilege to come today and to be on the radio. And we want to thank you for listening into the blessings of liberty, and also invite you to come be with us at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We have a church website with all of our information, service times, telephone number. Noah will give that at the end of the radio broadcast, but it's mountlebanonbc.org. We'd love for you to come and visit with us. And I want to say good morning to Noah today. He's here, and we have braved the weather to come out. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to our listeners, those who listen in on AM 1450 WATA right here in Boone, North Carolina, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
All right. We do appreciate all of our listeners, and I would like to say once again what a blessing it is to be able to come and to be here on the radio broadcast. And it has been a very busy week already. There's lots of things going on that we could talk about today. Some of those things we'll mention. Monday the 21st, that was Martin Luther King Day, and lots of activities going on to celebrate that day here in our nation. And also the public swearing in of Barack Hussein Obama for his second term. And I watched the majority of that on the television and listened to the speech and saw the activities on that day. They talked about how that was what a historic day that was, 150-year anniversary this year of the Emancipation Proclamation, 50 years, the Civil Rights Movement, and so a lot of things historically there and biblically that we could talk about. It was the first time that the invocation was given by someone who was not a clergy, not a pastor. It was given by a lady, and I did not write down her name, but she was the widow of a slain civil rights leader, and she gave the invocation prayer, and I watched that. So a lot of history taking place in our country this week. But what I want to talk about today, I want to talk about something else that I believe should be being talked about, but not very much has been said about this. And that is that January the 22nd, 2013, is the 40-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade. I got the newspaper, Winston-Salem Journal, for Tuesday, January 22nd. Not a word on the front page, not a word all the way through. Nothing is said here in the newspaper about the 40-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade. There's a lot of other things. Martin Luther King birthday celebrated with breakfast and a march. Obama resonates at King ceremony. Obama, we must act. President begins second term with call to work together. And so there's a lot of talk about that, and a lot of other things that are mentioned, but not one word. I did finally find a small article on the Drudge Report that was on the computer, and they had just a little on all the way down at the end. It said Roe versus Wade turns 40. But you know, you would have thought that with all this history crammed into 1 week, that Mr. Obama would have taken the opportunity to say something about Roe versus Wade or abortion in his speech yesterday, but he didn't say anything at all about it. It's interesting to me, as I watched, he was sworn in on two Bibles. He used Martin Luther King's Bible and Abraham Lincoln's Bible, and he placed his hand upon those Bibles and took the oath of office. You know, I would think that either one of those men, Martin Luther King or Abraham Lincoln, had they been in the same situation, would have taken the opportunity to say something about the subject of abortion turning 4 years old, 40 years old in our nation, especially since most abortions involve minorities. I have a report. The name of it is Abortion's Impact on Minorities. And just a few things I wanted to read from that. It said, while the specter of abortion has permeated all levels of American society, perhaps no group has been devastated by abortion as minorities. And it says down at the end of this, the founder of Planned Parenthood, which is the largest abortion provider in America, her name was Margaret Sanger. She said this, all our problems are the result of overbreeding among the working class. Today, Planned Parenthood, America's leading abortion promoter and provider, identifies its core clients as young women, low-income women, and women of color. And it has very interesting information on this. It says, while representing only a quarter of the United States population of women of childbearing age, African-American and Hispanic-American women account for over half of all abortions performed each year in the United States. So, you know, Abraham Lincoln, he gave the Emancipation Proclamation, and Martin Luther King was a great promoter of civil rights and caring for and the downtrodden and the those who were not at a place of power in society. I believe they would have said something about it, but of course they weren't here. But Mr. Obama, he swore in on those two men their Bibles. I wonder sometimes if anybody cares to read out of any of those Bibles, anything the Bible actually says. But I wanted to read from Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10 through 12 to get started today. And the Bible says over there, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. We are living, no doubt, in days of great adversity, and we need to bear up and stand for that which is right. And then it says in verse number 11, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? And what that is saying there in those verses, if somebody's getting ready to be slain and we don't stand up for them, if we say, well, we didn't know that, we didn't know what was going on, or we would have said something, we would have done something. Well, God says in here in his word that he'll hold us accountable. If we forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, God said he knows our hearts, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Now, I listened to Mr. Obama's speech yesterday, and I also printed out a copy of the transcript and brought it with me today. He passed up several prime opportunities where he could have said something about the 54,559,615 abortions that have taken place since 1973. Some of the places where I thought would have been a good place to say something about abortion, he didn't say anything about. But let me just read a few excerpts from his speech yesterday, or on January the 21st. He said at the very beginning of his speech, he said, what makes us exceptional, what makes us American, is our allegiance to an idea articulated in the Declaration made more than two centuries ago. And he quotes from the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I've used that before to preach out of course, using scripture as well, but one of the unalienable rights from our Creator is the right to life. Well, that right is taken away when abortion comes into play, but of course, he didn't say anything about it right there. He went on, he said something else. He said together, he's talking about our nation, together we resolve that a great nation must care for the vulnerable and protect its people from life's worst hazards and misfortune. That'd be a good place to say something about abortion, saying that we as a nation must care for the vulnerable, that we must protect our people. Yet he said nothing. This is at the the day before the 40-year anniversary of Roe versus Wade in America. He goes on, he talks about our insistence on hard work and personal responsibility. That'd be a good place to talk about abortion and Roe versus Wade. You know, we believe in hard work. We believe in personal responsibility. I found out something very interesting. I was studying about this, and the lady that actually, the Jane Roe, you know, that was a play on John Doe. The lady that brought the case that resulted in Roe versus Wade, she was not raped. She claimed at first that she was raped and wanted an abortion, but she lied about that. Her physical health was not in danger from having an abortion or anything like that. Her health was not in danger. She was a professed lesbian, and she did not want to have her baby. She had already had some children, but she said, I read an article about, so she'd been interviewed, this was in the early 1990s, and she just didn't want to have this baby. She'd been with some men, but she had a preference for women. Not a lot of personal responsibility in that. I guess that's why they don't really say much about her. Mr. Obama talked about that we needed to come together in collective action. If we possess all the qualities that this world without boundaries demands, youth and drive. You know, we are minus 54 million youth in this country as a result of abortion. He went on, he said, we are true to our creed. When a little girl born into the bleakest poverty knows that she has the same chance to succeed as anybody else because she is an American, she is free, and she is equal, not just in the eyes of God, but also in our own. I guess that does not apply to a little girl in the womb, I guess that would be being picky, but I believe that would apply to those in the womb as well. He said, we the people still believe that every citizen deserves a basic measure of security and dignity. Now, that does not apply if you're talking about a baby in the womb. He went on, he said, we the people still believe that our obligations as Americans are not just to ourselves, but to all posterity. That's our children. That word posterity, our children and our grandchildren. We will respond to the threat of climate change, knowing that the failure to do so would betray our children and future generations. So we're going to change the weather, but we're not going to do anything about abortion. And he said, we the people declare that the most evident truths that all of us are created equal is the star that guides us still. And on and on we could go. I'm going to run out of time if I go through all that. But he does not say anything about abortion and its impact upon our nation in this country. The last thing I'll read, he said, that is our generation's task. To make these words, these rights, these values of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness real for every American. Of course, that does not apply when we come to the subject of abortion. Now, the reason he never said anything is because he's one of the most pro-abortion politicians of all time. He said on January the 22nd, 2011, that was the 38th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, he issued an official statement heralding Roe as an affirmation of reproductive freedom and pledging, I am committed to protecting this constitutional right. He has appointed to the Supreme Court pro-abortion advocates Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor. Kagan. She was a key political aide to President Clinton. Kagan helped direct a political strategy that blocked the enactment of a ban on partial birth abortions during the Clinton administration. Now, a partial birth abortion is just what it says. The baby has gotten too big to do the traditional way. And so what they'll do, they'll induce labor until that baby is partially born. And when the head comes out, they'll stop it, and they'll take a sharp instrument, and they'll cut the spinal cord to that baby, thus ending its life. That's what a partial birth abortion is. But now these people have upheld that practice. And he's put an abortion into the health care law, Obamacare, that will result in federal funding of health plans that pay for elective abortion. He has federally funded abortion providers in 2011. Here's something that just blows my mind. These liberals and these women's rights activists, you know, they're all for women having the choice. But in May of 2012, the White House announced President Obama's opposition to a bill to prohibit the use of abortion to kill an unborn child simply because the child is not of the sex desired by the parents. So somebody comes in, they say, I want an abortion. Why do you want an abortion? Because it's a girl and I wanted a boy. Because it's a boy and I wanted a girl. And so you can get an abortion for just about any reason that, but where's the women standing up for these women babies that are being aborted, these female children, and on like that? So there's a good reason why he wouldn't mention anything like that in his speech on Monday. Liberal progressives, if you ask me, they're the biggest hypocrites walking upon the face of the earth to talk about taking care of everybody under the sun, but have no care whatsoever for a baby in a womb, which is the most vulnerable of all human beings upon the face of the earth. If we ought to be protected anywhere, we ought to be protected in the womb. Of course, they're not for that, but I just wanted to spend a little time today and try to get our heads around how many is 54,559,615 people anyway. And I did a little figure, and I was thinking about this because, you know, we throw these numbers out here. Well, 54 million, almost 55 million people since 1973. And I got to doing some figuring. I got a calculator down and just begin to play around with that and try to just get in my mind how many is 54,559,615 abortions anyway. There are 365 days in the year. There are 8,760 hours in a year. There's 525,600 minutes in a year. And there are 31,536,000 seconds in a year, which means if you were going to abort 55 million babies, it would be one every second for a year and 8 months. For 1 year and 8 months, you'd have to abort a baby every second to get to 55 million, or one baby every second for over 600 consecutive days. In a 30-minute radio broadcast, that would be 1,800 babies that would have to be aborted. In 1 hour, that would be 3,600 in an hour, and that would be 86,400 every day for 636 days. That's how many, 54 million. I think I rounded that off to 55 million. But that's still, you know, that's hard to comprehend just how many 54 million is. I got to doing some searching on the internet, and, you know, right over here in Tennessee, where the Tennessee Volunteers play football, they play football in the Neyland Stadium, and in that stadium, and I think Michigan, some of us here locally, you know, we've seen that picture of when ASU went up to Michigan to play, and I think that stadium will hold about 106,000 people. Neyland Stadium, where the Tennessee Volunteers play, it'll hold 102,000 fans. And so when all those fans, and you've seen that picture, or if you've ever been to one of those football games with all those people in there, that is just a massive amount of humanity together at one time. But if you were going to kill 55 million people, you would have to fill that stadium up 550 times full of people. You'd have to fill it up and kill all those people, fill it up again, kill all those people, fill it up again. You'd have to do that 550 times. That's how many 55 million people are. Or if you were going to kill 55 million people, what you would have to do is you'd have to kill every person in North Carolina. In North Carolina, according to the 2010 census, there's 9.5 million people in the state of North Carolina. So if you're going to kill 55 million people, what we're talking about is the total number of abortions that have taken place since January 22nd, 1973 through today. And this total probably isn't even through today, but today's the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, if you're just joining us. But over 55, or almost 55 million, you'd have to kill every person in North Carolina. That's 9.5 million people. You'd have to kill every person in the state of Tennessee. That's 6.3 million people. You'd have to kill every person in the state of Virginia. That has 8 million people. You'd have to kill every person in South Carolina, which has 4.6 million people. You'd have to kill every person in the state of Georgia. That's Atlanta. That's all of the state of Georgia, which has 9.6 million people. You'd have to kill every person in Mississippi with 2.9 million people. You'd have to kill every person in West Virginia with 1.8 million people. You'd have to kill every person in Idaho, Wyoming, Montana, South Dakota, and North Dakota. And then you would still only have 54.6 million people. We're talking about a massive amount of abortions. And every abortion is a person. The Bible tells us in Psalms 139 that God saw the psalmist there. He said, "The Lord, you saw me and my members in the womb." God recognized that as being a person, even in the womb. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter number 1, "You've known me from the womb." And so we're talking about people. We're talking about souls here when we're talking about abortion. If you were going to kill 55 million people, you'd have to kill every person in the state of California, which is the most populated state of all the 50 states. It has 37.2 million people in it, and you'd have to kill every person in New York, the state of New York, which has 19.3 million people in it. Then you would have 56.5 million people. We're talking about a massive amount of people when we're talking about 54 million abortions. I thought about it another way. I thought about the Civil War. The Civil War was the deadliest war in American history. The Battle of Gettysburg raged for 3 days, July the 1st through July the 3rd, 1863. And that was the deadliest battle in the Civil War. It was after that battle that Abraham Lincoln went and walked the fields. And I believe from studying history that Abraham Lincoln did not become a child of God. He was never saved until after the Battle of Gettysburg. The Spirit of God moved upon his heart. When he walked out onto the battlefield there and saw the great and remembered and thought about all the lives that were lost at the Battle of Gettysburg. In 3 days fighting, 7,863 lives were lost. That was an average of 2,621 souls killed every day at the Battle of Gettysburg. Now, in order to kill 55 million people, you would have to have the Battle of Gettysburg every day for 20,984 days. And that translates to the Battle of Gettysburg every day for 57.5 years. You'd have to kill that many people every day to get to the place of having 55 million abortions. We're talking about this taking place in our country year after year after year. and a president comes along and says, we're going to do something about it, and nothing is ever done at the federal level. Thank God there are some gains being made on the local level, but you have to keep in mind there's politicians do things to get votes, not necessarily because it's right. And things change in America depending on how the wind blows. How sad that is in our country. There were 620,000 lives lost during the Civil War. And in order to kill 55 million people, we would have to fight the Civil War 88 times. 88 times we'd have to fight the Civil War in order to kill 55 million people. We're talking about losing a whole generation of people from our society through abortion over the past 40 years. Here's something to think about. 2,753 people were killed in New York on 9/11. Everybody remembers 9/11 and what a tragic day that was when the Twin Towers fell. We're not including the Pentagon or the field in Pennsylvania, but just in New York with the Twin Towers, 2,753 people were killed in New York on 9/11. To equal 54 million people, you would have to repeat 9/11 every day for 19,818 days. You'd have to have 9/11 every day for 54 years. We're talking about just a massive amount of abortions have taken place in America over the past 40 years. If you take 54,559,615 abortions over 40 years, that is 3,736 abortions every day over the past 40 years. And when we think about that, we throw around these millions and billions, and we don't think very much about it. But all of this. Now, you think about this as well. This from a government that wants to take over our health care. We'll just turn that over. You know, if a government is not going to take care of the very least of us, how are they going to take care of the older people? Oh, they talk about saving Medicaid and Social Security and all of that stuff. But if you don't think death panels and old people hurrying up and dying won't come into play because it becomes a money thing, they want to have charge of our health care. They want to take away your guns for your safety. This government that has murdered all these children down through the years. Proverbs 24:12 says, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? You cannot say today, we did not know. I did not know abortion. Today, January 22nd, is 40 years of Roe versus Wade in America. And you know, we get together and say, God bless America. How can God bless a nation that kills the very weakest, most vulnerable among us with such fervency in our country? God help us. God help us. God does know. God does know what's going on. And he will set things right in time. But we need to have a voice for those that have no voice. I believe that with all my heart. It's still in the Word of God, thou shalt not kill. If that's not talking about abortion, then it's not talking about anything else. Well, our time is come and gone, and thank you for listening in today. Noah's going to come give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.